Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. I've written on the board two words followed by blank. I of blank. If you had visited Corinth at this time and asked them to fill in that blank, you probably would have gotten different answers depending on who you asked. One fellow might have put Paul in that blank. Another would have answered that, I'm of Apollos. Another fellow you ask, what goes in that blank? He might say Cephas or Peter. Then you might ask somebody else and he'd say Christ. The situation is that there were contentions among these folks. And one of the things that I learned from this short reading is that the Lord does not tolerate division among His people. He expects His people to be united. In fact, the prayer of our Lord, as recorded in John 17, 20 and 21, was that they all might be one. And the apostles made their plea for unity. A good example is in verse 10 when Paul said, speak the same thing, no divisions among you. And he shows the extent to which we're to be one when he says, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Another thing I learned from this little reading is that wearing the names of men is wrong. The party spirit prevailed in Corinth. And so they were wearing the names of Paul and Apollos and Peter and others. And Paul refutes that by asking three questions in verse 13. Is Christ divided? When folks wear the names of different folks, it indicates that Christ is divided, and He's not. And if it was wrong for them to wear the names of men then, what makes it right for people to do so today? And then he asked two other questions. He says, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In order for them to rightfully say, I of Paul, two things were necessary. Did you see those? First of all, it would have been necessary for Paul to have been crucified for them. And secondly, it would have been necessary for them to have been baptized in the name of Paul. And since Paul had not been crucified for them and they had not been baptized in his name, they couldn't say, I of Paul. Now, what would you put in that blank? If I hand you the marker, you might say, well, I'd put Christ in that blank. I'm of Christ. But are you aware that there are two things that are necessary in order for you to be able to do that? I'd like to call your attention to what those are. First of all, it's necessary that Christ be crucified for you. Was Christ crucified for you? There are some in the religious world who would say Christ was not crucified for you, that He was not crucified for everybody, that He was only crucified for a select few. But the theme of the apostles' preaching was Christ crucified for you. Like in Acts 2 and verse 23, when Peter made it known that Christ had been taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, Paul said, we preach. What did you preach, Paul? Christ crucified. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, he said, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. But He was crucified for you. The Hebrew writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 talked about how that He, that is Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for who? Every man. That's Hebrews 2 and verse 9. And John recorded in the book of 1 John in chapter 2 and in verse 2 that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, now listen, but for the sins of the whole world. And so you can check this one off, can't you? That Christ was crucified for you. But let me suggest to you that just because he was crucified for you doesn't mean that now all of a sudden you can put Christ in that blank. Otherwise, everybody can say, I'm of Christ. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. Because Christ was crucified for me. But there's another thing that's necessary. Notice, he said, were you baptized in the name of? And so, it's necessary for one to be baptized in the name of Christ in order to say, I of Christ. Let me ask you now. Have you been baptized in the name of Christ? Some might say, well, yes, I've been baptized. But that's not the question that I asked, is it? The question is, have you been baptized in the name of Christ? There's a vast difference in being baptized in the name of Christ. What's it mean to be baptized in the name of Christ? Well, that involves several things. And I'd like to take a biblical look at that. First of all, to be baptized in the name of Christ is to be baptized by His authority. You know, the religious world is confused about what this little expression, in the name of, means. A lot of people claim to do things in the name of Christ, but they're not by His authority. In the name of Christ doesn't mean that you just say Christ as you're doing something. And just saying that it's in the name of Christ doesn't make it that way. To do something in His name just means by His authority. Here's a good biblical example of that. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been questioned about a lame man they healed. Acts 4:7, by what power or by what name have you done this? Do you see where to do something in the name of means by power of or by authority of? And so when you're baptized in the name of Christ, you're going to be baptized by His authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power or all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And so, have you been baptized by the authority of Christ? That's the question. But also, being baptized in the name of Christ involves another thing, and that is being baptized, having been taught the gospel of Christ. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, listen, baptizing them. Them who? Them that have been taught. Taught what? Well, you learned the what from Mark's account in Mark 16:15, when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so a person must be taught the gospel of Christ before he's baptized in the name of Christ. Notice in Acts 8 and verse 12 when they were baptized, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. When? After they had been taught. And so a person is not ready to be baptized if he's not been taught the gospel. Peter said, you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. You've got to be taught the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You can't mix in a little air and still have 100% truth. 1 Peter 1:21-23. A third thing involved in being baptized in the name of Christ is believing the gospel of Christ. In Mark 16 and in verse 16, the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We might ask the question, believeth what? The previous verse, 15, says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that is, believeth the preaching of the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. It wouldn't do a person any good to be baptized if he doesn't believe. And the Lord said in John 8 and in verse 24, if ye believe not that I'm He, ye shall die in your sins. Remember when they were baptized in Acts 8:12? When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 8 and in verse 35, you read where Philip preached to the man of Ethiopia, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the man said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And so to be baptized in the name of Christ, one must respect the authority of Christ. He must be taught the gospel of Christ, and he must believe the gospel. See that? But what else is involved in being baptized in the name of Christ? It involves one repenting of his sins as commanded by Christ. In Acts 2, when they heard about Christ, the fact that he was crucified, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They could have been told there's nothing you can do, but they weren't told that. They were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 2 and verse 38. Notice the word repent comes before being baptized. What is repentance? In Matthew 21, 28 through 30, our Lord told that story about a man who had two sons. To one he said, "Go work today in my vineyard." He said, "I'll not go." Can you imagine telling your father, "I will not"? But afterward he repented. What did he do when he repented? He must have changed his mind. Is that all he did? Just changed his mind? No. The Bible says he went. And so it's a twofold action that involves a change in my mind and a change in my activities. And the Lord said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, 3. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and 30. And so to be baptized in the name of Christ is to be baptized repenting of one's sins as commanded by Christ. Another thing that's involved in being baptized in the name of Christ is being baptized having confessed your faith in Christ. Just what does a person confess before he's baptized? Does he need to confess anything? You know, the Bible teaches that one confesses his faith in Christ. In the book of Acts, in chapter 8, remember that little story about the man that said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He confessed his faith in Christ. And when you're baptized in the name of Christ, that's the same confession you'll make. A lot of people have been taught that in becoming a Christian, you confess your sins. He didn't say anything about his sins. In fact, in Matthew 10 and in verse 32, the Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess what? Me. Confess me. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We confess Christ. And Paul taught that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so until you confess Christ and are baptized in the name of Christ, done that, you've not been baptized as the Bible teaches. And so you couldn't say, "I'm of Christ," because you've not been baptized by His authority. But also, when you're baptized in the name of Christ, something else takes place. And that is, you'll be immersed in water. You won't have just a little water sprinkled or poured over you. There are some religious groups that will give you a choice. How do you want it? Sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? But baptism in the name of Christ is by immersion in water. In Acts 8, when he said, "See, here is water," he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water. Baptism in the name of Christ requires a coming unto the water, going down into the water, the baptism taking place, and then coming up out of the water. In Romans 6, 4 and 5, two words are used to suggest an immersion in water. The words buried and planted. Romans 6, 4, circle the word buried. Buried with him by baptism into death. And then in verse 5, the word planted. We're in the planting season, right? As soon as it dries enough, we put the seed in the soil. You're going to cover it, bury it, submerge it. And that's the word that's used to describe the action of baptism. A little sprinkling or pouring of water over a person is not baptism in the name of Christ. Baptism in the name of Christ is an immersion of the whole person in water. But also, baptism in the name of Christ involves your being baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Why? What's the purpose? What's the design of Bible baptism? For the remission of sins. That is, in order to have your sins forgiven. If a person was baptized thinking that before they were baptized, their sins were already forgiven at the point at which they believed, then they've not been baptized in the name of Christ. It involves the proper understanding. So they say, well, I was baptized, but before I was baptized, I was already saved. I was just baptized to kind of let other people know. It's an outward demonstration. Or I was baptized to become a member of a denomination. No, baptism is for the remission of sins. For the same reason Jesus shed His blood, Matthew 26:28, for the remission of sins. Did Jesus shed His blood because folks already had their sins forgiven? Or that they might obtain and receive the forgiveness of their sins? So their sins would be forgiven. And that's why we're baptized, so that our sins will be forgiven. But also baptism in the name of Christ involves us being baptized into Christ and His body. In Galatians 3:27, Paul said you're baptized into Christ. And there are a lot of reasons why you need to be in Christ today. Be in Christ because that's where all spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1:3. You need to be in Christ because that's where redemption, the forgiveness of sins is. Ephesians 1:7. You need to be in Christ because that's where salvation is. 2 Timothy 2:10. And you need to be in Christ because that's where the promise of life is. 2 Timothy 1:1. That's eternal life, 1 John 5:11. But also, baptism puts us into the one body. There's one body, remember, Ephesians 4:4, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. When you were baptized, into what were you baptized? If you weren't baptized into the church of Christ, then you weren't baptized in the name of Christ. Because the only body that we read of in the New Testament is the one that belongs to Christ. The Lord's body. It's identified as the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. It was built by Him, Matthew 16:18. He's the head over it, Ephesians 1:21-23. He's the foundation of it, 1 Corinthians 3:11. He's the Savior of it, Ephesians 5:23. He purchased it with His own blood, Acts 20:28. And so it's His. It belongs to Him. And it's identified as such. And so when you're baptized in the name of Christ, that involves several things, doesn't it? It involves being baptized by His authority, having been taught the gospel of Christ, believing the gospel in Christ, repenting of one's sins as commanded by Christ, confessing faith in Christ. It involves being immersed in water. It involves being baptized for the remission of your sins, and being baptized into Christ and the one body. Now, have you been baptized in the name of Christ? Have you? When you can check that off, then, and only then, can you accurately say, I'm of Christ. And yet there are a lot of people in the religious world who think they're of Christ, that they belong to Christ. They think they're Christian, and they've not been baptized in the name of Christ. We'd like to encourage you today to think about the fact that Christ has been crucified for you. But just because of the fact that He's been crucified for you doesn't mean you're of Christ, that you belong to Him. There's action required on your part. You must be baptized in His name. And we've learned what that involves, what that requires. And should you be in this audience this afternoon and you realize you've not been baptized in the name of Christ, you can take care of that. So that you can put Christ in that blank. That you can rightfully say, I'm of Christ. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. All things have been made ready and convenient that you might be of Christ this afternoon. And why wouldn't you want to be? The fact that He was crucified for you ought to move you and motivate you to want to belong to Him. And can you think of any finer person you can belong to than to be of the Lord? And when we are of Christ, we need to recognize the importance of living for Him, as 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 14 reads, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That is, it moves us and it motivates us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why don't you quit living for yourself and start living for the one who loved you and was crucified for you, so that heaven may be your home and you can live eternally with him? We can assist you today in being of Christ. Why don't you make your desires known right now while together we stand and sing?